Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, 2019, and we are glad you joined us. Oh, I already said that, but the readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting at verse 23 through chapter 7, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 71. And also Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. I want to admonish you to take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. He puts a lot of time and prayer into these articles, and they're very important for the day and age we live in. So please read them and pass them along to your friends. This week we feature the articles Kingdom's Call of the Light in Christ Jesus. Kingdom's Call, Walking in the Light as Christ is in the Light. Be righteous as you walk in a world of darkness, for the light shall overcome all things. Be sure the Lord has shown you, O man, what is required of you. A chosen generation has been called out of darkness into his light. Are you one of them? A message for today, for all people. Also, offended, the world and the faith of Christ. Offended by the world, not have any faith, let alone the faith of Christ. Ask the world a faith question and chances are they will really have no clue as to the real issues of Jesus Christ. You may hear the word, but it is diluted. I should say deluded. Today we are in a swamp of unbelief, secularism, and filth. Yet it seems a strange thing to really discuss filth, to declare, thus saith the Lord, everything today is user-friendly, including Christianity. In America, I call this the Sugar Plum Church and the Fairy Tale Jesus. So you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles, and also you can listen to the shows. We are on Blog Talk as well, Instagram, LinkedIn, Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast. And so now here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Now I invite the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here tonight for our brethren.
Well, we are past and into August now, past July.
It's the middle of August already.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, July is usually one of the hottest months, and you know, they're not necessarily fast moving months, but man, July went by. And now this month has gone by. We've just been so busy and a lot of things going on, and just amazes me. And well, there was news that came across a little while ago about five police officers getting shot in, I think, Philadelphia.
Oh, that's horrible. I don't know why they have to have that go on.
And I haven't seen any updates to it at all.
Huh.
And the last time I seen it, the shooter hadn't been gotten, but there was police all over the place. None of the police officers are life-threatening, so it sounds to me like he just sprayed the crowd where the police were. But he must have shot the police, because I didn't see anything where anybody else got shot, just police. And remember, Antifa, and we don't know if it's Antifa or not. Antifa, in the beginning, declared the overthrow of the United States, but the Democrats refused to declare them a terrorist organization. But, you know, it's hard to say who or what it is. But, you know, we're doing... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he's... live streaming the video. Six officers have been shot and taken to the hospital. And like you said, none were life-threatening, but the police are working to take the stream down. He's live streaming some of the shootout.
They like to do that.
That is so bizarre. That is just stupid.
Well, that's the internet. You go out in glory. And,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. They're going to have to do something. Well, tonight we are doing the advocacy for the persecuted church. We have a lot of stuff going on. And one of the first things up is the anti-conversion bill to the Indian Parliament, the BJP party. We've been talking about them ever since they got elected many years ago. And the Christian leaders warned about the BJP that indeed there would be persecution of Christians that followed, and they were right. And Modi, there was a thing with Modi, too, and I don't know if I have it in here or not. Yeah, I do, so we'll hang on to that. Maybe we can get to that, too. Because India is really in that situation to where it is a democracy, and Christians and other faiths are supposed to be able to have their faith. But the problem that you have is that Christianity, and well, especially Christianity, and even in the Muslim areas, it's Christianity, is targeted the most, because there's a lot of people, believe it or not, as we look at America, and sometimes, you know, there's, well, I wrote the article today, and you'll have to read it. It's about those who are losing faith and a number of other things. And so we do have Christians that are well known in America that have given up the faith. At the same token, Muslims at a very increased rate are coming to the Lord. And even over in China,
good.
Yeah, it is good, you know. And so what they're doing with this anti-conversion bill is trying to stop that. It's not going to stop it. See, because they believe that all this has to do with is stubborn Christians making Hindus into believers. But, you know, a lot of times, I mean, although they're filled, you know, they have the Lord and they might witness. A lot of them are very, very careful because they know the Hindus, it don't take much to get them provoked. But see, just like we've been reporting in the Muslim areas, it's the same way in the Hindu areas, is that the Lord is going to add to his church no matter what these people do. And the Christians sometimes are surprised with the miracles that are coming down
and the people that are getting saved. It's just amazing what is happening in a lot of areas. So that's what it is, that the BJP-led government is going to be introducing a nationwide anti-conversion bill. Now, there's a lot of this going on. Russia was putting forth a lot of various kinds of legislation like this. China already has. China, you can't do much of anything. And of course, the old thing, if it is, just because a country has freedom of religion, that doesn't mean freedom of religion is the same for you as it is for those of us in the United States. Because freedom of religion does not include being able to carry your Bible, being able to talk about the Bible, being able to pray in public. Well, you'd think all these things are included in freedom of religion. But in Iran That's and other right. places, it is not allowed. And even in Iran, you can't even have a gathering in your own home and have a prayer meeting. That's illegal. And then it came across they were going to stop you from praying. You couldn't even pray silently. Well, how on God's earth do they know that you're praying silently? I mean, yeah. these people are off the, you know, talk about being off the, off their rocker. A lot of these people, they're passing these things because they are alarmed at how many Hindus are becoming Christians. And what it does is it upsets their balance, see, and they don't like it. And so there's a lot of this stuff. Radical nationalists are falsely accusing Christian leaders and evangelists of forcefully converting individuals. I mean, we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. And they were accusing the Christians of giving these people, I forgot how much it was, $1,500, $2,000 to convert. Well, most of these Christians don't even have that, let alone, you know, give it to them to convert. There's no way they need to. They don't need to because people are coming to the Lord. But these guys will say that to keep from getting the stuffings beaten out of them by radical yeah. Hindus. So this is in the news, but it's something that's going to be in the news for a long time to come. Because when you get when the son of perdition comes in and you get that whole new world that's going to be financed by him, there's only going to be one thing that's going to be going, and that's going to be the mark of the beast. Everybody else is going to be illegal. And if you try to do anything different, you're going to be targeted. So, you know, it is kind of interesting, though, Tower, that these people are so concerned. You know, so oh, you know that... You know that people are getting saved. They wouldn't be passing these laws. Just like in India, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing. I mean, in China, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing even in China if people weren't getting saved.
That's right. They're afraid of Christianity.
And then speaking of bombing, you know, there was, you know, this thing going on in Philadelphia. That was a shooting. It follows on the heels, I think, of two other shootings. Well, CBN related a story out of ABC News about a Vegas man who wanted to bomb a synagogue and a gay bar, and the cops followed him around, and they discovered that he was going to do it. And Yeah. And they had a notebook with a hand-drawn diagram for a potential Las Vegas area attack. It had drawings of explosives, and they found chemicals and parts for the construction of an explosive device in his bedroom.
Wow.
And an AR-15 rifle and a bolt action rifle. And so he faces 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine. It always makes me wonder how the world they expect to get money out of someone who's going to jail. I mean, I suppose they do, but.
Well, how do these people think they're going to get away with this stuff? Are they expecting to be killed? They don't have to face trial or anything?
I don't know. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, a lot of these are young white men, but there's also a lot of, you know, other races involved in this as well. And if you look at Antifa is a mixed race terrorist organization. And actually, they're the fascists. You know, they're like Hitler's brown shirts or Mussolini's thugs that he had. But, you know, they all call President Trump racist and call him everything in the book. And, of course, today you notice that the stock market fell. And, you know, a lot of this.
I didn't know that. I haven't kept up on that.
I think it was one of the worst drops they've had. And
really?
So they're so they're talking about a recession and all kinds of things. And of course, a lot of this is coming on the heels of Trump taking on China. And you know, the bottom line of it is that we are in perilous times. And so
yes, we are.
You know, just the way it is. Are you ready for yours?
Sure. The China one, we'll do that first, since you were kind of talking about them. The Chinese authorities have now decided to erase the words Bible, God, and Christ from children's classic stories, including Robinson Crusoe and The Little Match Girl, as part of moves to redact Christian references. These popular stories are among four works by foreign writers to feature in new Chinese school textbooks for fifth grade pupils around age 11. You know, this offers students an understanding of other cultures, according to the Ministry of Education. But author Daniel Defoe's description of how castaway Robinson Crusoe recovered three Bibles from the remains of his shipwreck has been altered from the original 1718 novel to read that Crusoe saved a few books. And then Danish writer Hans Christian Andersen, in his 1845 short story, The Little Match Girl, that when a star falls, a soul goes to be with God. And the Chinese version is now, when a star falls, a person leaves this world. And Anton Chekhov's story, Vanka, received similar treatment. There's a section telling of a prayer in church that has been left out, and every mention of the word Christ has been erased. The Chinese authorities announced these new policies in a white paper on religion in early 2018 with the intention of selectively reinterpreting Christianity and scripture. You know, haven't they outlawed Bibles too, Dana? And you can't buy them on the internet anymore in China.
Well, you know,
Google is working to effectively help stop Christianity from being available in China, because Google is working with the Chinese government.
Well, you know, they used to have Bibles because we had our Christian friends who went over there. Their daughter was working in China. As part of a ministry, and he came back
saying
that he could buy Bibles. There were Bibles that they could buy. But the thing of it is that, see, China was open with this Christianity and religion, but under Xi Jinping here, he has gone back to Mao's communist doctrine. And, of course, in the original communist doctrine, religion, as you well know, in the socialist and communist doctrine, religion is the opiate of the people. And so, you know, they have really cracked down over there with all of this. And right now, it's in pretty bad shape, so I don't really know what the full scope of it. Now, the regular church that is part of the Chinese, that put the government of China and the Communist Party first. All the sermons that are preached have to have a mixture of government and certain things in Scripture, but it is already pre-done. It's already been mixed, and they all have to give adherence to communism and the whole nine yards. So all their Bibles that they would have and their songs and everything they have has to be okayed by the government. So everything would be rewritten in that. I don't know to what extent their Bibles would be, but the way the Chinese government is doing it, it would have to be totally rewritten, you know, and all the things about saving in Jesus only and all this other stuff that Christianity is known for, they would take it out because they want to make it conducive to communism. And they don't want the people to lose that particular aspect. And this is going to go. Now, when you get to when the Antichrist, he's not really the Antichrist, but the beast, when he arrives, he's going to do things and take on the entire world. So somewhere along the line, the one that's coming is going to hit head to toe with China and its army, because they're going to come to Israel, a 200 million man army, and when they move at that time, a third of mankind are going to die. This is how bad this is going to get. So China hasn't moved yet, but you know, in order for that prophecy to go, the beast has to be in there. And when he arises and he's revealed, there's 3.5 years. And the armies of the East ain't moving right away in that 3.5 years. So this is all the things that can go on. Now, another place we're looking at is in the Philippines. And there's a couple of articles from the Philippines, and we haven't talked about the Philippines, but we do have people that are listeners that are in the Philippines, people that we know. And we just got a letter today talking about ISIS, because they had read my article, and I mentioned ISIS in the Philippines. And he said they're coming north. Well, Banar News reported this group as Suyaful Khilafa Phi Luzon, or of Luzon. And the thing that's interesting about this ISIS group is that they come from an allied with another group, and that other group was composed of Filipino Christians who converted to Islam and pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda over 20 years ago. So they've been around for quite a while. And so, you know, Christians converting to Islam or leaving the faith is not new. So, you know, the problem you have down in the southern part, of course, is the Sunnis. And a lot of them are involved in ISIS. ISIS was primarily a Sunni group. And that's why Iran wasn't too hip on them, because they are not Sunni. They are the competitors in Islam to the Sunnis. And so he says they're coming north there. And, you know, they're down south mainly, but they're moving north. And that's kind of scary. Because, you know, it's just like a plague or something else, you know, sooner or later it's going to get there. I mean, you need to cure it. You need to cure it before it gets anywhere. And so far, you know, they've already had, it was a, what, how many years ago was that when we were reporting on that ICE, that group taking over that town, that Muslim group,
Oh, I don't even remember.
two or three years ago. But see, the government of the Philippines really couldn't do a whole lot there. They sent people down there and they finally got it straightened out. But that whole area where they're dealing with is loaded of radical Islamists, and many of them are connected to some of the most virulent groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and they've been deeply rooted in it. Now, the Philippines have been predominantly Catholic, but there are Protestant denominations there, churches that work there. And so you have here, in another story, the United Church of Christ in the Philippines was killed in Antipas Friday morning. And his name was Ernesto Estrella. He's 51. He was a pastor. And he was on his motorcycle coming back where he had visited with his relatives. He was interrupted as he was coming home and shot point blank by one of two suspects.
Oh.
And he was killed.
That's horrible.
And they said that killing of Christian leaders is on the rise under President Duarte's administration. And they said between December 2017 and June 2018, there was four Catholic priests shot. And three of the priests also received death threats. Now, of course, a lot of these groups, you know, the Philippines has been, you know, they're well endowed for guerrilla warfare. And that's why these groups are so hard to stop. These guys live in that jungle all the time. That's how come the Japs couldn't root out those who wanted to keep the Japs out, you know, and there was Americans that were fighting with them. So it's really hard to root them out. And so they can go into these cities and cause and have terrorism and every other thing. So, you know, the Philippines is definitely one of the ones on our markers. And the Philippines also is where we do have some people that listen that we know. We've known them for many, many years. We have people around the world, a lot of people, very scattered. So we get news from various corners from them when they contact us. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, this is where we're at today. And so you know, it's kind of hard to stop something when you are in this kind of a thing, you know, where you can just run into a jungle and hide.
Yeah.
Now, another one that we're really hearing a lot of stuff about is Myanmar. And, you know, Myanmar is one of those countries that kind of exists, you know, and you don't really hear it a lot. You know, you hear a lot about Bangkok or Vietnam, you know, or Indonesia. But Myanmar, you know, it's just one of those you don't hear all the time. But there is problems over there, too. There was a bunch of Christians or villagers that had been taken. They were held captive for 6 months in a border camp. The soldiers, the American army, it's known as the AA, had taken them hostage from their community when they fought government forces. I guess that's the way to get even with the government forces when apparently, you know, they were run out, so they took hostages with them. Now, this story comes out of ICC, who actually has a local source there and confirmed the release of these, they quote, primarily Christian villagers. And there was negotiations. A lot of times it's about money. And in the Philippines, it's about money a lot of time. There's been a lot of kidnappings down in the Philippines over the years that we've been doing this. And there's been people killed and things like that. And it's also been motivated by whether they were Christians or not. They've been doing people that were there vacationing, you know, in some of the nicer places down in the Philippines. So it's really dangerous depending on where you're at in the Philippines. And in Myanmar, you know, this definitely, you know, we see that in a lot of these countries. You have government forces and you always have rebels. You know, it's just one of those things, Tower. It's just, you know, you want peace. You want your kids to be safe. You know, these people in Myanmar, living, working, raising crops, taking care of their animals. And all
they
you want to do is
live in peace and safety and serve the Lord.
And so the government troops can't keep you safe. And this is true just like in Nigeria. That's why Boko Haram and the Fulani are able to kill Christians by the hundreds over all these years. They haven't been able to stop them either. It's also in Nigeria where Leah Sheribu was taken and rumors of her death was spread around. So
we haven't even heard any more. I've been wanting to know.
I haven't seen anything. And I think that they did that. I think she's alive. I think they're trying to get everybody to believe that she's dead because she's going to be with them the rest of her life. And they want to marry her off and make her one of theirs because she's a Christian who will not come to faith. So that is come to Islam.
Convert,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So in Myanmar, another place, you know, it's just too bad when you read this. In February 2nd of this year, there was 54 other villagers, the Kumai villagers, were abducted. And their base where they took them was between Myanmar and Bangladesh. Of course, these are all poor countries. But there's also a lot of mix when we talk about the religious aspects here. These are all religious wars, every bit of them. And there's a lot of this stuff going on. And so some of them manage to escape. Some of them die in custody. But in this one here that we're talking about, they were released. They released dozens of villagers. So we're glad that they're released. But this is, you know, it's just dangerous. And if you're somebody that visits around the world, you know, it's just, you've got to be careful where you go. It's just amazing. And now, Tower, are you ready for yours?
Yes. This is a pretty disturbing article, I think. The Norwich Cathedral in eastern England constructed a 50-foot fair ride inside the sanctuary on August 8th, calling it Helter Skelter. And the idea came from Canon Andy Bryant when he was visiting the Sistine Chapel in Rome and wanted to find a unique way to show off Norwich's cathedral's own ceiling. And he said they have the greatest collection of medieval roof bosses anywhere in Northern Europe. And he said the trouble is they're so high up, most people never get a chance to really appreciate them. And the ride gives visitors a unique aerial view of the inside and a chance to experience the cathedral in an entirely new way. And this ride, you can lie down and look up, or you can go on the ride, and you can see it differently by lying down and look up, and take part in a trust trail, sit inside the Word of God, and walking salvation tour, and much more, which. This one woman, Jane Hedges, said it's fun, but it is about serious, really serious matters and trying to get people to think about the meaning of life, to think about their place in the world. But Others say a church sanctuary is not the appropriate place for a carnival attraction, and I tend to agree with, I do agree with that. I think it's a wrong thing to do. And like Dr. Gavin Ashton, former chaplain to the Queen, said, the priests of Norwich Cathedral have been unprofessional and are making a mistake about what a cathedral is good for. There's a sliding scale between mockery and blasphemy. It's a mockery because it's treating God like a tourist attraction instead of as the creator of the universe who is going to hold us accountable for our ethical failures, he told the British newspaper. And it becomes blasphemy at the point where the cathedrals represent a long line of belief, most of which is martyred belief. People have paid with their lives to believe in Christ, and cathedral is corporeal, an embodiment of Christ. To turn this into entertainment, he said, is blasphemous to Christ and the people who died for Christ. It suggests cathedrals have lost their responsibility to Christ because they are preoccupied with the demands of society. Yeah, I believe he's right. He hits the nail on the head. I can't hear you.
It's like the carnivals when we were kids, you know, how popular they were,
yeah,
and the fairs.
Yeah.
It's like taking one of those and calling the pastor up and say, hey, can you clear, you know, the front several rows, move the pews?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to set up a carnival ride. Of course, you'd need a big one, but those cathedrals over there, they're huge. But the problem of it is,
yeah,
they're empty. And this is a story that's been around for a long time about a lot of the big churches have been closed down. They didn't, you know, the people were dying off. There was no more fresh blood, Christians, believers coming in, and they couldn't afford to keep them going. And most of the times they got sold off because they couldn't keep it up. And the ones that a lot of them became a Muslim mosque. And so, you know, this is really a tragedy when you think about it. And
I know another church, another cathedral opened a 9-hole mini golf course. Dear God in heaven, it's not a game. They're trying to attract young people. But
yeah,
not
I can
get
understand
them in
that
for the right reason.
Well, if you want to attract young people, you got to do something with smartphones and social media, and because that'll draw them in, you know, like a Pied Piper, because they're, you know, a golf course that's old. Now I don't know about Europe; maybe they love it, but I played mini golf one time. Never played it again. It's just not my attraction. Now, my dad was a golfer when he was growing up and out of the military, or maybe that was before the military. At any rate, let's go to this G Faith, and I suppose you've heard about it. CBN brought it out, and I've been over to the G Faith's website. And, of course, the big issue here is, as big tech silences Christians, this new platform will give people of faith a voice. Well, we got a lot of problems here when we talk about the Internet. We talk about Christianity, especially when YouTube restricted Christian content here not too long ago, because one of the keywords was Christian, and they found that offensive, so they got rid of it. And, of course, years ago I was on YouTube, and I eventually got off because YouTube was really a platform of prey and mockery. You know, now let me suffice it to say that there are good things on there, but when you're doing anything religious, or Christian especially, people come out of the woodwork, you know, to cause trouble over there. And not to mention the fact YouTube will limit you. So we got off of there after a while, and I wasn't on there for a long time. Now, we're on there now, and the only reason we're on there and on Google is because of the people that we partner with for our Warren Radio Network, which goes out. So there's people that listen to us on Blog Talk, but we've got people, they can listen to us on TuneIn, they can listen to us on iHeart, they can listen to us on Spreaker and many other avenues. And we've developed that network, and we work to grow it even more. So it spreads out. So at any rate, this tech is a problem. It's a big problem. And, of course, today the news came out that one of the Google insiders came out, and he had thousands of documents that he took. He copied it off and turned them over to the government to investigate Google because they were planning on changing the election. And we know for a fact that, and I know for a fact because, you know, we have two websites. I had a lot more than that, but I've limited over these years just to two. But, you know, we're on a lot of social sites and things like that. And I know very well that for the two terms of Obama, you did not use the keyword Obama because they would not do anything. It got nowhere. So I learned a long, long time, even before Obama, that you had to be careful your keywords because this is what these this script, you know, that Google and others uses looks for words. So you got to be careful. Well, see, Google admitted not too long ago, and I forgot how many keywords it was, but they can describe to a T certain things and use, you know, just thousands of keywords to get certain things narrowed down and blocked. Well, this guy came out with all this stuff, and he was interviewed. He's been on a couple of different places, right now, Breitbart has it. There's a number of others, but they're all talking about it. I don't know what the government's going to say. But he was, you know, he said he couldn't in good conscience work at Google when he was seeing what they were doing with the information they had. And he came out with one page, one thing. And you can download these as well. You can see them for yourself over there. And on it were all the blocked websites. And isn't it amazing how many conservative websites you could find, you know?
Oh, I know.
And so I know from us when they started reformatting everything and really started going against, and Twitter went against it, Facebook was cracking down. We've saw a drop in everything we're doing. By a lot. And I know that WorldNet Daily did too. Now, we have stories and articles and everything going out 24/7, 7 days a week on Twitter. And we've got them on Facebook. We've got a lot of stuff going out all the time. But I can guarantee you that most of this stuff drops off. There's a lot of it that just drops off in a dark hole. And that dark hole has been placed there by Google so that while it looks like you're doing something. Now, I'll tell you, I hope that this isn't as clear-cut as it seems to be with this guy. But the reason this G-Faith came out is to allow Christians to have a voice. Now, mainly right now, what they are is they've got two packages. One, and it's basically patterned for churches. A pastor goes in on Sunday morning, four times a month, or maybe he'll go into church Wednesday and Sunday, or say just 2 days a week. So you have one video each week that you can put up, or two video program. I mean, it's not very big. That's all they're doing right now. It really doesn't fit what we're doing at all, but it is something. It is something that they're trying to do for Christians, and I think that's good. But, you know, you still have to get the website in front of the people, and that's where they're going to have problems. Because Google right now and a lot of these others practically own. You take Amazon, they take off books like nobody's business. They recently, not too long ago, took off the books of a former homosexual who had been delivered through the power of Jesus Christ. He started a ministry many years ago, and he was writing books and stuff about deliverance, and they stopped selling all of his books just like that. You have
That's
Twitter.
Wrong.
Yeah. You have Twitter that cracks down. You have Google that cracks down. You have Facebook that is monitoring everything. So we're in the internet, we're becoming Antichrist. We really are. And the Lord said that this would happen. And to be honest with you, I warned a long time ago all this would happen. I've been, over 21 years now, but I knew some of this stuff was coming, and I knew some of the things were coming to America because of what I'd been shown. And I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing if the Lord hadn't gotten hold of me. But the bottom line of it is that as Christians now, we have got to be smarter than the wicked are wicked. It
yes,
doesn't
that's
matter.
Right.
You know, we're still a free country now. You know, we still have laws. And technically, these companies can't discriminate because of the word Christian. This is against the law. Nobody's enforced it yet. But these companies are doing things that is against the FCC regulations, against what they're supposed to do. Nobody's held them accountable. The Democrats won't, that's for sure.
Of course
I
not.
Wish they would. But at any rate, so G Faith, I think it's gfaith.org. And you can just do, I don't want to say Google search. There's other search engines out there. But look for G Faith and you'll find them. They're up there, they're out there, and we wish them well. But long before they were doing it, I had a friend of mine, and he's been doing it for many years. And he's another one. There are Christian, servers and, Christian companies that are hosting Christian content. Absolutely. We have ours, but we're not hosting our own. If it gets worse, I've got to get my own server, find some place to put it, and go from there. This is what it's looking at. Because, we are headed right into the end of days. This is really where we're going. It's exciting in the fact that the Lord is coming. But, every week we look at the persecution of Christians and what people are doing for their faith, just trying to survive. And then I see our brand of Christianity in America, and, I feel bad. And, America needs to wake up. Christian, we got some of the biggest churches and number of Christians. And if everybody was to join together, get up and say to Google and, their YouTube and Twitter and all these other, say, we're not going to do it. Say to Amazon, we're not going to buy your products anymore. I have books on Amazon. And I have books on Amazon. I've had them there for a long time. And they're there because Amazon makes it easy. I buy a few products from Amazon because I can get them here for nothing practically. And, it has a lot of good tech stuff, but when Bezos starts messing around and saying, okay, you can't do those books anymore, then that is the bottom line. And so we've got problems in this country, and if we want to stay free, we'd better wake up. The churches had better wake up. The pastors had better wake up and get going. And So at any rate, we have about 9 minutes left. You know, we ought to. Yeah, we got a couple of stories here, you know, Tower. But we could do your other one on the deaf man. You do have some time, and I can do those others next week.
Okay. This is comes out of Mozambique, and the story is from mnonline.org. I'm not sure what that is. As a deaf man in Mozambique, Pedro frequently got into trouble and acted out violently. And one day, a deaf friend invited Pedro to attend his church, only it wasn't a real church, it was a cult. And Pedro was conflicted, and the so-called church forbade him from seeing his family, even for sickness or funerals. He felt very uncomfortable with their teachings and didn't see them lining up with scripture. So he left the cult and started attending another hearing church. And that's when he was introduced to Door International and their chronological Bible story translation for deaf people. He said, "I finally knew how loving my God really was." And Door recruited Pedro to join the 2x2 program, which trains deaf leaders in pairs of evangelists and teachers, and Door celebrated Pedro's 2x2 commissioning with several others in June, and he went from a violent kid to a confused cult follower to a redeemed Christian leader, and Pedro's life was forever changed. And he said, "I felt the Door's recruitment was truly a calling from God for me to help others who are bound by the same lies that bound me before. Knowing the truth will truly set you free." And he said, "I want to carry on this good work." And so Pedro's story is not uncommon in deaf communities where many deaf individuals have never encountered the gospel or have only been fed lies disguised as God's truth. And they state that, in fact, of the 70 million deaf people worldwide, it's estimated that less than 2% know Jesus. That's a pretty sad statement. And Rob Myers with Doors says, "Reaching unreached deaf communities isn't always easy. When you have a people group that's been cut off from the gospel for a long time, there's a lot of spiritual resistance. And they face resistance from the government if it's a closed country, or from attitudes within the community if people view deaf people as being cursed or as demon-possessed. So there's a lot of barriers that they have to overcome when serving deaf communities. And even the deaf people have struggles because of the years they've been told they can't lead and they can't do things because they can't hear. But God has gifted every single believer with spiritual gifts to be able to serve the kingdom. And that's, amen, that's true. So we need to pray for the deaf community. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you know, that is a good story.
It is.
And, you know, I mean, many times, people that are healthy don't give it another thought. Now, my mother-in-law was in a wheelchair all the time that I knew her. She's gone on to be with the Lord, but I never knew how to deal with someone with that kind of a handicap. And, you know, we got along great, but you know, there's things that she taught you, you know, and there's things that you don't think about. Are the doors wide enough? Are the aisles of the store wide enough? I mean, just lots of things that she taught me. And I never had a mother-in-law problem.
You know, even growing up, my mother was became a paraplegic when she was 17, and so I never knew her to walk, but she could do everything, and she challenged herself. She educated herself, and she challenged herself to be a better person. And I think that was part of her hand because of her handicap. She even could drive a car. My dad put hand brakes in there. She could push on the foot pedal, you know, push her leg down with her hand, and but she couldn't move it over to stop the car. So my dad put brakes in there, hand brakes in there. So she drove us around, and she could do everything. You know, there was nothing that really seemed to stop her from doing anything.
And, you know, so when you're talking about ministering, you know, this guy being deaf and getting caught up like that, you know, this guy is just a wonderful asset to reach these people, to help them.
That's right. He is. Yes. Amen.
You know, it really is. I mean, we're all part of the body of Christ. And of course, you know, we said that once your mother was gone, she's dancing around in heaven because we never saw her walk.
Yeah.
We wanted her to walk. We wanted her to get healed. But, you know, the bottom line is that when we're dealing with these ministries, you know, this is a good ministry. This is a good story. And we need to remember these things. And so, well, with that, we're coming down. We've got a few minutes left. We're going to have to close out.
Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines for part 13, 14. What part are we on?
14.
Of Isaiah's prophetic book. So that's tomorrow night on Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. We love you. We pray for you. And may God richly bless you. And thank you for all you do for the King. Good night, everybody.
Well, Isaiah is a really good study, and Blood Guilt is on Friday. Isaiah will probably be something like around 70 parts by the time we're done, or more. So this is a long haul with Isaiah, but it's a great, great study. I'm going to do it for years.
Yes.
So at any rate, don't forget to go by warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to all the listen to all the shows there. You can read the articles there. You can also find the connections to all the other places where the shows are at. If you want to see some of our old videos we did years ago, you can go over to Facebook and look at our video page. Go to our Warren Radio page. And there's a video section, and we have a bunch of videos on it. And so we stopped videos a long time ago. But at any rate, you can contact us through warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. That's where we receive all of our correspondence from. So if you need to ask a question or talk to us, do it that way. This is The Watchman. And we'll see you next time. Shalom, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.